Well, good afternoon, everyone. Great to be able to be here. Wonderful to be able to have the webcast for those who are at home. We do have a number who are not feeling well, so please do remember them. But appreciated that opening prayer by Mr. Stenhouse here through technology and whatever other means we might have. Because there are actually, in this world, somewhere around 1.5 billion people who suffer from hearing loss. 1.5 billion. That's 20% of the world's population. They experience some level of hearing loss. And in fact, generally speaking, about 50% of us will have some level of hearing loss. It's age-related. And this is all because of the process of time. A number of other things we'll kind of get into. But when we're talking about hearing, we're talking about your ability to actually perceive sound. You and me, what it is. And it's somewhat as we are concerned. You hear when your ears pick up a noise, a vibration. And it doesn't matter whether you're paying attention or not. You still hear. You still hear things that are going on. So the way that hearing works is you have on the outside of your ear, this is called the auricle. Then you have the canal, and she functions as a magnifier of sound in the 2,000 to 3,000 hertz range. It will magnify the sound, bring it in, project it through into your canal, and that's the outer portion of the ear. And then you get into the middle ear, and you might be familiar if you remember anatomy or if you've been looking at this in school. It goes into the middle ear, and that sound to vibrate. You have those bones in the middle ear. You've got the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup, and those there, they start to vibrate. And what they do is when they vibrate it, it actually goes from the hammer to the anvil to the stirrups. And the stirrup is the last thing before you get into the inner ear. And the inner ear is made up of the cochlea. And the cochlea is actually it's like a snail shell, but it's filled with fluid. So you move to the inner ear, the cochlea, and what happens is as the stirrup and the anvil and the hammer are vibrating, they cause movements in the fluid that is inside the cochlear region of your ear. In the cochlear region of your ear is something even more amazing because you have these tiny little cell size, I mean, they're not huge, they're microscopic actually, of hairs. They're these little cilia that are inside of your eardrum, inside of your cochlea. Okay, and the fluid is all around them. And so as the reverberations and the vibration from the sound that comes in through your ear, from the outside, comes into your inner ear, it causes vibrations. Think of dropping a pebble in a pond, and it sends out those vibrations. And that goes and bumps up against these little microscopic hairs that are inside of your cochlea. And those then are connected inside to that snail shell, to the wall of it, and as they move, they transfer that vibration into an electrical impulse that goes through your nerve, the auditory nerve, on up to the brain that your brain translates it based on everything that it has around it, your experiences, and it transfers that into sound, interpreted as sound. Now, the reason that it is hair loss of a kind, and we'll get to that. But the reason that hearing loss occurs is because what happens is those little hairs inside the cochlea, they degrade over time based on what you hear. And it's an interesting thing because at the very kind of the mouth of the cochlea, the opening of that snail shell, you pick up different frequencies. They carry different rates. Okay, and so you'll have a higher pitch frequency towards the front side of it. And those are actually the microscopic hairs that will degrade first, because they're getting blasted with all the sound first. And so when you wonder why, as adults, you don't hear the high pitch that little kids hear, those are the little hairs inside the cochlea that end up degrading first. So it is hair loss, hearing loss. It's all related, right, in some fashion. But those hairs, they no longer move. They're not sending the electrical impulses. It's like they've fallen over and they can't get up, if you remember the old the old commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up. Lots of things happen with age, right? And the little hairs inside of your cochlea fall over. They can't get up, so they're not sending impulses anymore. And the higher frequencies are towards the outer portion of the cochlea. But as you go in and around the rings, you'll get the deeper sounds, the deeper frequencies. So this is where hearing loss comes in. Now, this is not a sermon on hearing loss per se, but it is. It is, because we've gone through the days of unleavened bread. We're now a week past that. And I thought that it would be good for us to consider what it is that we hear. Because God does command us to hear Him. And this is something that we've talked about with the children of Israel. There are a lot of things that they heard. There were booming sounds of thunder on Mount Sinai that they heard. And what did they do? How did they respond to that booming, thunderous sound? They drew back, right? As was brought out in the sermonette last Sabbath in the morning, I thought Mr. Radelbaugh did a fantastic job with that, bringing out the fact that this is a new beginning. We have another holy day because it's a fresh look at what we should be doing as we go forward and thinking about how we should hear God. So if you turn with me, actually, to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll see here, this is a revisiting of the covenant that as Mr. Kiesel was talking about this covenant, that the children of Israel, they missed that opportunity to step into it initially. But we're revisiting those commandments, we're revisiting their covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." God commands us to hear Him. It's the first point for us today. God commands us to hear Him. And as I mentioned, when we're talking about hearing, it's kind of a passive thing. If we sit here and you're quiet, you might hear a pin drop. You might hear pages turning. You might start hearing the hum of things in the kitchen. You might hear a car passing by. But you're just sitting here or standing here. And we can hear things. It's a passive thing to do. It doesn't take a whole lot. And God's saying, I want you to hear me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. Let's build on this by turning to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3. Isaiah the prophet is speaking to Israel prior to their going into captivity. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3, much of what he has recorded here. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3, God is wanting them to be able to have opportunity, abundant life. As you look at the beginning of the chapter, verse 3, he says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you." The sure mercies of David, much of Israel and Judah, had stepped away from that covenant, the one that we kind of revisited in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You get the Ten Commandments of Deuteronomy 5 that are revisited after having them given in Exodus 20. Right? And so we have this, listen, hear what I'm saying. And we have this process that God is reaching out in that way, vocally reaching out to Israel. He's saying, listen to me. Likewise, he does the same with us. Now, Matthew chapter 17, this goes to the next step. Because it's not just listen to God in the Old Testament, but we get that transference. I mentioned this when we're talking about faith. Jesus says, you know, have faith in my Father, have faith also in me, believe in me. But in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus is transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. Right? And they see him. But in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, we see that while he was still speaking, remember Peter had asked, okay, should we make some altars or tabernacles? And so while he's still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Hear him. So many of the people at that time were finding all the excuses why they didn't have to hear him, didn't have to listen to him. The leaders in Judea and those who were in the church, those who in the Jewish faith, right? Not only the political leaders, but also the religious leaders are finding all these reasons up. Having it just be, if you think of a conversation you've had with someone, if they're just sitting there and they're looking off, into the middle distance, you might say, did you hear anything I just said? Oh, yeah, I heard that, right? What they talk about? Active listening. So it's almost like a conversation, even though the other person might not be speaking, the person who is hearing might not be speaking, but it's like, okay, it helps to know that someone is actually hearing you if you're making eye contact with them. If you're nodding, right? We have these visual cues. So there's active, we're having this moment, we're having this eye contact. And if you give too much eye contact, it can become awkward, right? Now she's not looking up and nodding. But these are things that show that I do want to hear what you have to say. I do want to hear. God commands us to that process of not just passively being there, even though you can hear things just passively. We want to be active in that. Because hearing, point two, we have God commands us to hear. Point two then is hearing leads to understanding in life. You see, if we don't actually even hear anything, you can't proceed to life. So hearing leads to understanding and life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. This is brought out beautifully in this passage. Romans chapter 10. We'll read verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, there's this process that happens. The word of God. He speaks, and if we hear, then we can transfer that, as it says, to faith. Kind of have to work backward for what we see in Romans 10:17. Because it goes by the word of God, so we hear the word of God, and when we hear that, again, we have the opportunity to build faith. And that faith is necessary, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We must hear in order to be able to move to understanding, and understanding becomes life. John chapter 5, turn with me there. John chapter 5, you may have read this passage during the Passover, and perhaps you read it during your studies during the days of unleavened bread. But John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. Again, this concept that hearing leads to understanding and life. Most assuredly, Jesus says here in John 5, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes. See, we're moving beyond just hearing, more to that active side of things. Again, we read about faith earlier in Romans 10. My word, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me. Remember what God said? God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And here we have that reciprocal aspect of things that Jesus is speaking back to the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. There's this buildup that should come. If we're hearing, we're actively hearing, engaging in that process and not just passively letting the sound flow past us, not really focusing on it, but we're actually actively engaging in it, in that listening, that hearing process, we have the opportunity then, as Jesus says, to move towards everlasting life, to pass from death into life. Matthew chapter 13, this is another great passage when we're talking about what we should do with what is provided. There are a lot of words that get passed along, and there are more than we could ever possibly hope to here in a lifetime. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, as Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower, the last verse here, it says, he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. You know, that hearing, the understanding, as we read earlier, the faith, the belief, the life that comes. So he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. See, hearing by itself is a passive thing. Actively hearing, actively listening for what God is saying and being engaged in that conversation can lead then to understanding and life. Because if we're actually hearing God, it should lead to some level of transformation. As we see the transformation here, it's not just a plant, it is a plant that bears fruit, right? This seed that is there in the soil that's willing to hear, right, can grow some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. It leads to real spiritual life, as we read in John chapter 5. Third thing here, as we talk about the progression of hearing, is also brought out here in verse 23 of Matthew 13, and that is that many hear, but few truly listen. It's an interesting juxtaposition when you talk about hearing versus listening. Because as I stated in the examples, you're watching somebody, you're trying to talk to somebody who seems to be staring off into the middle distance. You ask if they heard you, they say yes. You might say, were you even listening to me? Because you can passively hear. The noise comes through. All the components of the ear are doing stuff. Right? The little hairs are floating back and forth in the fluid. The stirrup is pounding the hammer, the anvil. Everything's working. It's all going in there. But there's a disconnect between, you know, along that auditory nerve to the brain. There's not the action. There's not the activity that is there. Because many hear, but few listen. To listen, unlike hearing, is active. It means you not only hear the sound, but we focus on it. We process it. You might think about a machine that you bring with you if you're going to go stay somewhere that's not home, a white noise machine. Do you ever focus on that stuff? No, the whole point is not to focus on it. You just hear a whole bunch of cacophony of things. I find as I get older and I'm in conversation in rooms like this with all these hard surfaces, it gets more and more difficult to focus in and be right there to be able to process only what I need to process. It takes focus. Many hear, but few truly listen. To listen, again, is an active process that takes focus and a thoughtful response. Right? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12. You can walk around through town and you're going to hear all the noises of a city. You'll hear probably taxis honking. If you go to a larger city, you might hear airplanes going overhead. You might hear people talking on their phones. You're going to hear all sorts of things. So many things to hear. And you can watch people be wholly unaffected by what's going on around them. It doesn't mean that it's silence, right? A lot of people might have noise-canceling headphones. I'd rather not hear those things. They don't even want to listen. And so again, many hear, but few truly listen. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2 says, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. God is talking, so Son of man is referring to Ezekiel. He's talking to them about Judah, right? And Ezekiel is residing in Judah. And he says, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see. And ears to hear, but does not hear. For they are a rebellious house. Everything is there to be able to see and to hear what God is doing. And a large part of hearing is those nonverbal cues. Right? If you want to know that someone is talking to you, you say, oh, look at my eyes. I want to have eye contact so I know that you're seeing not only and ears working together to be able to hear, but so few, even with the tools. And this is God is speaking to the house of Judah. Not even Israel, who went off with Jeroboam and did whatever they wanted to and had their own idols. This is the house of Judah that retained the Levitical priesthood, that had David, and yet they had eyes and they weren't using them. They had ears, and they were not using them. They did not really want to listen. They were, as it says here, a rebellious house. If we go back to Matthew, let's go to chapter 13. Here, this is a little bit earlier in the parable of the sower. 13, we'll read verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. Now, this is actually a quote from Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10, but it brings out quite nicely here and succinctly in Matthew chapter 13, or picking up in verse 14. We'll do the latter half. He references it. It says Isaiah, that the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing, you will hear, and shall not understand." There's a disconnect. Remember, we talked about hearing being passive. There's a disconnect. All the things are happening. All the signals are going. You've got the little microscopic fluid. But there's a disconnect between all of that passive mechanical stuff and the focus and the translation going on in the brain. "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive." Remember what we read in Matthew when we're talking about, in Romans, that hearing leads to understanding. It should lead to understanding. Faith from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. We have that transfer along, and it should be that way. "However, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive." Verse 15, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull." See, this is where there's a lack of a desire to pursue God, a lack of a desire to have the conversation. You can tell if someone doesn't want to talk with you or hear what you're saying. Suddenly, their phone becomes very important. They start looking around the room. You know, there are these different markers. "The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Speaking about how rebellious they are, how stiff-necked they were, as Isaiah was talking about the children of Israel. We need to be willing to not just hear, but actually truly listen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. We see this again reiterated by John in this last book in our New Testament. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. This is reiterated a number of times in the letters to the churches. But we'll read it here in chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, "He who has an ear," most of us have two, right? "He who has an ear, let him hear." Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen to the warning. "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Remember, hearing leads to, should lead to, from the Word of God. When we're hearing God's Word, should lead to understanding, leads to faith, leads to life. God commands us to hear Him. That hearing should lead to understanding in life. We need to recognize that many hear, but few truly listen. It is important for us because hearing physically, and we can do this every Sabbath, we can do this in conversation, hearing, we can hear physically, and it's an important thing. But for us as Christians, we have to transfer that to a spiritual thing, to listen spiritually. And it's one of our five senses. It's a very important one. And over time, as I mentioned, we can suffer that hearing loss. You have loud noises if we're not careful to protect our ears. You can have portions of it. Again, first one that oftentimes goes is the higher frequencies, which are those little microscopic hairs that are closer to the outside portion of the cochlea in the snail shell. They're not spiraled all the way down in the middle. But those can go away. Those can fall over. They can no longer hear that frequency. And if we're not careful, we can have more hearing loss. I think it's an interesting thing that the majority of hearing loss that occurs, you go from, 15% of the population, 15, maybe 20% of the population has it, all the way up to 50%. And that's a time thing. Just by the nature of time, we can start to shut down. Well, I shouldn't say physically, we're not actually actively trying to shut down our hearing. But through the process of time, our hearing gets dulled. on the spiritual plane of things, that should be very frightening to us. That just over time, we're less prone, less likely to be able to hear the message of God. There are frequencies that we just can't hear anymore. When we ask God to make sure that we can hear, and we ask these opening prayers to make sure that it opens our hearts and our minds to be able to take in the messages that have been prepared, it can be so easy, just through the process of time, to no longer hear what He's saying. Let's go to Ezekiel 33 as we close off this first message. Ezekiel chapter 33. We'll start in verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30. Again, Ezekiel here is the watchman over the house of Judah. He says, "As for you," this is Ezekiel 33, verse 30, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses." They didn't like him. "And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.'" So they're all coming. They're like, "Oh, we should go listen." I mean, if you look and see what Ezekiel did, he did some very interesting things. Everybody loves a show. And Ezekiel was putting on a public show. You know, cut some hair, send it off over here, burn it, make yourself some bread, cook it over this offal. You know, it's like all the things that he had to do. And people would come and say, "Oh, let's come, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord." This makes me think a lot, I should probably read the rest of it, but it makes me think a lot of the leaders of Israel coming to John the Baptist. Everybody's coming to get baptized. Well, let's go hear what Ezekiel's saying. "So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words." Oh, good message. Oh, touched me. Fantastic message. Did you hear that? "But they do not do them. For with their mouths they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them." Isn't it great just to listen? I love listening to music. I love listening to artists as they perform. It's like, oh. But you know what? I think this is such an amazing analogy because most of us can't go do what they did. But we love to listen to it. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 33. "And when this comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them, because he was prophesying their downfall. And they were willing to listen." They were willing to hear. But it never moved into action. It never moved beyond. And we can have these conversations. They heard, but they didn't really listen. We need to answer God's call to not just hear, but to listen.